RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back at the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on this Sunday morning live in the Kia Studios. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app, so you catch on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at GChapATL on the Twitter machine. This is your daily look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. Pro Football Focus grades from Dolphins preseason game number one. Your top defensive grades: defensive tackle Albert Huggins with an 84.7. Breon Browers, who actually, he had a nice game too. That's another guy who had a nice game. 84.6. Trey Flowers, a 78.5. Carlos Davis, a 75.6. And D. Alford came in at number 5 with a 75.4. Also, on the offensive side of the football, wide receiver Xavier Malone was a 91. Scotty Miller, an 85.3. Clint Radakovich, an 83.6. Fullback. Logan Woodside with an 82.7. And running back Godwin Igwebuke at 78.2. Some of the other notables for the Falcons: Jalen Mayfield had a 77.4. And look, I know he got lost on the one play, but I did think that he played pretty well by and large. You know, when you get him going north and south, then you can have success behind him. When you can run the football and just let him use his strength and size and everything, get him going north and south, I think that's where he excels. But when you ask him to start blocking guys and speed guys and they stunt on him and all these different guys, then he gets lost. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. Can he be a guy that is a rotational tackle for the Falcons? I certainly think that they want that to be the case. I certainly think they want that to be the guy that ends up winning their rotational tackle spot. But, you know, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. I think he'll get another big look in preseason game number 2. Hopefully we see Bergeron get his shot, in preseason game number 2. But I certainly think that, you know, they're still trying to find a way or find a role for what Jalen Mayfield can be. Center Ryan Nuzel, 70.9. Wide receiver Penny Hart with a 64.4. DeMarco Helms, 68.3. Nate Ladman, 65.5. And Michael Walker, a 31.2. So, yeah. So, again, I still think that Walker did a couple of nice things. I still think Nate Ladman played pretty well in the game. Obviously, DeMarco Helms, I mean, he played well, and he created some different things going on, but that's what the Pro Football Focus grades are saying. So the Falcons did make a move, and I don't know what this is going to end up being, but they signed linebacker Frank Ginda. Now you're asking, who is Frank Ginda? Well, he is the reigning USL Defensive Player of the Year. So he won Defensive Player of the Year this past season in the USFL. He's also the single-season all-time leading tackler in the Mountain West Conference. 26 years old, led the USFL in tackles with 104, added 3 interceptions and a sack, won Defensive Player of the Week on 4 occasions, and he was in the middle of the Michigan Panthers defense. 6'1", 225, really good career at San Jose State. But again, he's going to be with the Falcons now, and let's see if he gets a chance to play. I mean, you never know what some of these guys can do, right? I like the idea of adding another inside linebacker that could be a high-volume tackling guy. Because I wrote on the rundown that should the Falcons be looking at Rashawn Evans? You know, we don't necessarily have that guy that is the high-volume tackler that we've had in years past. Whether that's been Devondre Campbell, Foye Oluokun, Deion Jones, we don't have that high-volume tackling guy. And I think that's one of the things that this defense may be missing. Now, I think that there are candidates. I mean, I think they certainly hope that Troy Anderson can be that. I hope that Caden Ellis can be one of those guys that can be a high-volume tackler. But obviously, he's going to be involved in the pass rush as well. But we don't necessarily have that guy that just you figure you can pencil in for 150 tackles, right? We don't have that kind of guy. Maybe this kid, you know, Ginda can be a guy like that. Maybe again, he can be a guy that comes in and, you know, parlays his success in the USFL this past season and maybe be a guy that, you know, can get it done. So we'll see. I don't know anything about him. I can't say as I watched really more than a few handful of plays in the USFL. But again, you know, if you're going to sign somebody who is successful, not just some vagabond or some Joe Bag of Donuts that, you know, again, didn't do anything. Sign at least the guy who was the Defensive Player of the Year and see if he can parlay that success into, okay, he's got some things figured out and he can maybe potentially take a step forward, in all of this. All right, let's get to some clips. Let's hear from Arthur Smith. As first clip is that he talks about how the starters are going to play next week.
Well, there's so many things you've got to evaluate, so you're trying to divvy up that time. And, you know, I thought we took advantage of the two practices, D-led, but, you know, our guys will play next week against Cincinnati. So we'll be back at home, and we'll have to evaluate, but those guys will play next week at home.
I think next week's going to be the only week that the starters play. Now that you only have 3 preseason games, and by the way, too, the other part of this is you have to make cuts all at once now, too. So the cut is different. So all of a sudden, you're going to have like 1,100 players that when cuts come along, you're going to have 1,100 players that are out in the marketplace. So that's the other big thing that you have to realize. It's not the slow cut and things like that. It's not chop a little bit here and there to get your roster right. It's everybody goes all at once. So that's also a change in the NFL. But I think next week, as we see the starters, that will be the only time we'll see them. I do believe that. I don't think we'll see the starters come week 3. Maybe there'll be some guys that are, I don't want to say fringe, but like fringe starters maybe. You know, that may get a little bit of work in week number 3, but I think week number 3 is going to look a lot like week number 1, because you're trying to look, even a guy like Logan Woodside, you're trying to evaluate whether or not you keep a third quarterback, because right, they have the rule now that starting this year you can keep a third quarterback, so you can keep a third guy on the roster as an emergency quarterback. So, okay, is Logan Woodside a guy that you think that should stay on the roster, or he can be a practice squad player? Like, what can his role be? You know, again, obviously, you don't want him to play, but is it worth keeping him on the active roster versus just a practice squad guy? So I get all of that. We'll see probably a first half out of the starters, and then after that, you won't see them until week one of the regular season. All right, here's Arthur talking about how Logan Woodside played with some poise.
Yeah, I thought he played with pretty good poise. I thought he threw some good footballs tonight. You know, wasn't perfect, but I thought his ball placement was pretty good. I thought his decision-making was pretty solid. You know, Logan's a guy that's continuing to improve. It's fun to work with. I thought his command was pretty good at the line of scrimmage as well.
Well, obviously, the big thing is he didn't turn the football over, right? I mean, that's what – when you're talking about a third quarterback, you're not looking for a guy who's going to go in there and win you games and stuff like that. You want a guy who comes in, makes good decisions, doesn't put your team in harm's way, and doesn't create turnovers. That was Logan Woodside. I thought he made good decisions, thought he had some poise, but most importantly is he didn't cost your team. He didn't have any turnovers that would cost your team. That's the big thing about him. Here's Arthur talking about D. Alford proving that he's a legit NFL player.
You know, D's one of the many cool stories we have on our team. Not only is he a local guy and went to Tusculum and went to the CFL and got here and proved he's a legit NFL player. So, you know, another guy in our program, he just, all he does is work, continues to improve. Showed up tonight in DB, made a couple plays, and you know, that's a huge play. Just having somebody that can get you that first down on the punt return. Obviously, he was able to extend that to a touchdown, but that's important.
Well, look, we talked about Arthur Smith has specifically pointed him out over the course of training camp. Like, he's talked about him a couple of different times, unsolicited. That's the key, unsolicited. He's talked about him as being a guy improving, playing within the system, this, that, and the other. So it was good to see him kind of take all of that and put it together the other night. Because I know Arthur Smith is high on him. And again, he's done some good things for this team, but good to see him actually do it in game action. Here's Arthur talking about the defensive success on critical downs.
Well, that's what, you know, you try to simulate in practice. When you got to make your practices competitive, you try to put them in as many stressful situations as possible. That's what it's going to come down to. That's what this league is. Most of these games are close. There's good players on both sides, but when you get there, you know, if somebody makes a mistake, now, we got to improve our tackling, which is usually an issue early in the preseason. And, you know, we got down there, but you don't panic. That's what you want to see is guys understand that, hey, they may make a play. A guy may make a hell of a throw and catch on the sideline and get down to five, and let's bow up and get them off the field. And I thought you saw that tonight. That's a mindset, but it's for throughout the whole team and the staff. It's what we try to simulate. And then more importantly, you got to have the right guys to do that. And I think a lot of our guys have the right character makeup.
Bend, don't break, right? I mean, that was what some of that defense was. They gave up some chunk plays. They gave up some big runs. Some of that was poor tackling. But when it got down deep and it got down into crunch time, they came up with the big plays on defense. Whether it was an interception on the first series where they intercepted the ball at the goal line or in the end zone or whatever, kind of right there with Helms and the interception, they're good. The nice rebound carom that he got, you know, or whether it was a pass defended on a fourth down or what have you. Look, the idea is that they played well, especially in the red zone, right? They especially played well in the red zone when things got tightened up and they weren't giving up points and it wasn't a scenario where the Dolphins had an easy time of it. So that's the thing that you look for, right? Can our defensive personnel outclass their offensive personnel? I don't care who's playing. I don't care what the name is on the back of the jersey. Can we be better than them when our team lines up? Here's Arthur talking about the defensive backs being active and getting their hands on the ball.
It's a combination of both. You know, we've you know, how we want to play, and you know, some things we want to change, and You know, we want to be aggressive in all three phases. We've got aggressive guys. It's a credit to a lot of people. You know, you bring in the right guys. I mean, our scouting staff, I mean, those guys going 24/7, and it's a shared vision. And then you got coaches like Jerry and Jack, and the way they all communicate, I thought the defensive staff, you know, first, you know, preseason game, those guys communicated really well. It was clean on the headset. But those guys are pros. And so it's a shared effort. And a credit to our players, too. Those guys believe in what we're doing, and hopefully we can continue to grow.
Remember when I told you that the low-key best move the Falcons made in the offseason was bringing Jerry Gray in? Remember when I told you all that? How many turnovers they have? Four? Okay. All right. And they had multiple interceptions? Okay. All right. Again, stick with old Chuckery here. Stick with old Chuckery here. All right, here's Arthur talking about we're going to need these guys later on in the season.
But, you know, it's a long season. I told you guys, you know, the old NFL, you know, it was pretty drastic. Practice squads were smaller. You didn't have these standard elevations. You know, the season's a little bit longer. You need all these guys. And, you know, as they continue to develop, and I was telling Arch out there, when you ask a question like that, a lot of these guys are going to – you may get short 1 week late November, and these guys have to be ready to go. And that's our job. And so it's fun. I mean, you feel a team building, Scott.
Well, I mean, look, it is a long NFL season. Guys get hurt all the time. And you need depth. I mean – it's not a matter of even, you know, having guys that, you know, when guys get injured, having guys being able to go in and play. Look, part of it is you just need a rotation of guys to keep guys fresh. I mean, that's part of it is just, okay, can we have a rotation of guys that, you know, can be backups that give you something on the field? Not just guys that are just placeholders or whatever. Guys that can actually contribute. Because, again, you're always going to need some depth, especially on your defensive side where you rotate guys at defensive line, at defensive back, where you're always rotating guys in and out. You need some of that depth on defense. All right, when we come back, is Spencer Strider the leader for the Cy Young right now? We'll talk about that next. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio at 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
2-9 the game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios with you on a Sunday morning. I'll be with you till 2 o'clock. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So as the Braves pounded on the New York Mets over these last couple days here and in three games worth, you know, I've talked about this before on the show, but, and, you know, I know that they're, you know, again, for all the talk about Ronnie winning the MVP, and look, he deserves the MVP award, no doubt about it. I mean, it's, I think it's a fait accompli. I don't think it's, I don't think either guy in the American or National League is in jeopardy of not winning the their MVP awards in Ohtani and Ronald Acuna Jr. But one of the other things that is interesting about this team is, could Spencer Strider be the Cy Young winner right now? If you look at his numbers, he's leading in two of the three Triple Crown categories in baseball right now. He leads the league in wins. He leads the league in strikeouts. And I think he's in the National League itself. I think he's 13th, I think, in the National League right now in ERA. Now, obviously, again, that's not necessarily the best number in the world. He's 13th in the National League in ERA right now. But still, his ERA is 3.75, and for modern-day baseball, that's still pretty good. Now, I think the two other guys that are in the mix is Justin Steele from the Chicago Cubs, who also has 13 wins. He's got a 2.79 ERA, and he's got 120 strikeouts in 126 innings. Now, the strikeouts are definitely one of the glamour numbers in baseball, right? Whereas Steele's got 120 strikeouts in 126 innings, Spencer Strider's got 217 strikeouts in 139 innings. And I can tell you, if Spencer Strider ends up with 300 strikeouts and he's leading the league in wins or somewhere right there, you know, first or second in wins, there ain't no doubt that he's going to win the Cy Young. I promise you. You're not going to have a 300 strikeout potential 20-game winner in modern-day baseball not win the Cy Young. I don't care what his ERA is. Unless his ERA starts to get to be 4.5, 5, if his ERA is in the 3.5s, he's winning the Cy Young. Garrett, I'll ask you real quickly if you think that Spencer Strider is the leader for the Cy Young Award.
I mean, when you talk about voters and everything like that, you have to have a little bit of a pedigree to get that vote. And I think he's done enough to establish that after what he did last year, and then he comes back and does it again. I think the ERA is also a bit of an overrated stat just in general. It's an important stat, of course. It's like batting average. I mean, it's an important stat, but it's a little bit overrated and a little bit overweighted, I should say. But yeah, no, I think he's got a great shot at doing it. I mean, he's a strikeout king. I mean, the dude, we haven't seen a guy strike some people out like this in a while. I mean, the dude is elite at that.
And he certainly benefits from his team, right? I mean, that's the other part of it. I mean, the fact that the Braves are the glamour franchise right now. You know, even more than the Dodgers, the Braves are the glamour franchise right now. But if you look at some of the other guys that are in the mix, I mean, Taijuan Walker also leads the league in wins. His ERA is over 4. And he's got, 106 strikeouts. Like, that's not even a number that registers. Like I said, Justin Steele, he's got the wins, he's got the ERA, but he doesn't have that glamour stat. Zach Gallen is another guy who, you know, he started in the All-Star game, right? He's 4th in the National League in wins, 3.24 ERA. He's got 165 strikeouts, so he'll probably be a, you know, 200 strikeout pitcher. The only other guy that if he gets his act together, and I talked about this with Bob Nightingale a couple of nights ago, the only other guy that might be in that mix if he gets it together in this last stretch is Clayton Kershaw. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw's got all the pedigree in the world. I mean, look, Clayton Kershaw's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Don't get it twisted. We can make fun of some of the guys that the Mets had, Scherzer and Verlander. Those guys are all first ballot Hall of Famers. Clayton Kershaw's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know how he wouldn't be. I don't know how Clayton Kershaw has been the best left-handed pitcher of modern-day baseball by tons, and one of the best pitchers, you know, for his time. I mean, generational pitcher. But that's not this year. And I think that Strider, I think the ERA you can overlook. And by the way, you know, the number of home runs that he's given up, yeah, I mean, he's given up a good bit more home runs this year than he did the previous season, right? I mean, it's going to be about 3-1, the number of home runs that he's given up year over year. But when you look, if he's around 300 strikeouts and he's 20 wins, you're not going to deny him the Cy Young. I'm sorry. I mean, those numbers pop, right? Even if you're a casual baseball fan, even if you don't get into the intricacies of what is Taijuan Walker doing, what is Zach Gallen doing, what is Justin Steele doing, if you look at 300 strikeouts and 20 wins in modern-day baseball, I don't know how you overlook that. And so we talk about all of the things that Ronald Acuña Jr. is doing. Think about how quickly everything is coming together for Spencer Strider. I don't know how many guys in modern day baseball are must watch pitchers. You know, in the old days, Maddox, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, like there were a good handful of must watch pitchers because you felt like something special could happen on a night to night basis in the world of baseball with that guy on the mound. Strider's one of those guys. Strider is arguably the most dynamic pitcher in baseball. He may not be, I don't know, he may not be Ohtani, but he's the most dynamic pitcher in baseball.
Well, the league average for strikeouts for 180 innings pitched, which is like a pretty standard year in Major League Baseball, 180 innings pitched, it's 175 mm-hmm. strikeouts.
Right.
He's got 217 and 139.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about historically good strikeout totals.
Again, his strikeout per nine is 14.
It's 14.
Right. And I think when you look at the number,
it's almost three runs better than second place.
Get your calculator.
Or three strikeouts.
Get your calculator out real quick. Grab your calculator. What's 217 divided by 24? 217 divided by 24.
Nine.
So he's averaging nine strikeouts per start. So again, whether he pitches two innings or whether he pitches eight innings,
yeah,
he's averaging nine strikeouts per start. Every time that he's taken the ball on the mound, and again, that is the glamour things, right? And look, you can't deny when you have a guy that's leading the league in two of the three triple crown categories in the league, like how many guys have led the triple crown of pitching? I know Koufax has done it. I think Randy Johnson has done it. I think Pedro has done it before. But there aren't very many guys that have won the triple crown of pitching in baseball history. And again, he's not going to win the ERA title. His ERA is about a run and a half above everybody else, you know, as far as, you know, Steele or, you know, even Clayton Kershaw. His ERA is about a run and a quarter higher than Kershaw. But there aren't that many guys that have made a run at the triple crown of pitching. Forget the triple crown of hitting, triple crown of pitching. I mean, there aren't very many modern-day guys. Look, even Greg Maddux was a guy who wouldn't win the triple crown of pitching because he pitched in an era of strikeouts where, again, you had Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling and guys like that. Like, he was never going to win the triple crown of pitching. As great as he was never going to do something like that. You come up with a number?
No, I got a couple. I mean, they've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight different people have done it in the last 150 years.
Okay. All right. Let me guess. So there's eight people, right? Is that eight people?
Or eight seasons? Eight different people.
Okay. Koufax has done it.
He's done it one, two, three times.
Yes.
It's incredible, by the way.
I'm going to say Randy Johnson did it one time.
No.
Okay. How about Pedro?
No.
Lefty Grove?
Yes. Twice. Actually, he did it twice.
Okay.
So it's seven people.
Yeah.
1930 and 1931.
Yeah, he was the MVP in 30. He was the MVP in 1930. No, he was the MVP in 31 when he went 31-4.
So you've got five of the times it's happened, just with those two names.
I know Juan Marichal hasn't. Has Gibson ever done it? Bob Gibson?
No.
How many are national?
Three have happened in the last, since 1985.
Clayton Kershaw?
No.
Tom Seaver?
No.
Steve Carlton?
No.
Wow.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, who you got?
So Shane Bieber did it in 2020.
Wow, okay, yeah. I mean, he had a... That was a big year.
That's a COVID year.
Yeah, that pandemic year.
Still counts.
Yeah, it was. But
still counts.
He had a monster year that year.
Johan Santana did it in 2006.
Oh, okay. That's a good name.
Dwight Gooden in 1985. I thought you'd get that one. And then
I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't get that.
I thought you'd get Dwight Gooden. Yeah. That's your era, man. That's your decade. Anything that happens in the 80s, I feel like you get.
I'm disappointed in myself for that.
And then Dazzy Vance, 1924.
Okay, for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
1924, back in the day.
For the Brooklyn Dodgers, is it not? Did he do it for the BKN?
I just have names. That's all I have. I don't know Dazzy Vance.
Yes. He was a pitcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Before my time.
Hall of Fame. He was in the Hall of Fame. Well, again.
It happened 99 years ago.
Well, the only guy who covered him was Freaky. So, again, he'd have been, Dazzy, I remember Dazzy Vance. I told him, I said, don't throw the spitball. I don't recommend that. Don't throw the spitball. Anyway,
so impressive. You got most of them.
Yeah, I mean, I had a few. I mean, I was close. I mean, I'm surprised Kershaw hasn't done it because again, he's been.
He had like a decade of just being one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, and again,
Verlander would have gotten it too.
Yeah, that's another guy too. Yeah. Verlander, because again, Kershaw's won the ERA title a couple of times, and I think he's won the strikeout title a couple of times. So maybe he just didn't win the wins total. But again, so when you have a guy that is two of the three categories, that is the Triple Crown winner in pitching, like you see that's a rare feat that's ever been done. So. Again, I think Strider right now is the leader in the clubhouse for the Cy Young. How interesting would it be if we win both the MVP and Cy Young on the Atlanta Braves this year? Would be pretty remarkable considering all the injuries to our pitching staff this year. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. I'm all broken up for Katie Nolan. I'll explain it next. Chuckery in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Nats on the Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Sunday morning with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll get to a What's Bugging Chuckery coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Young Garrett, what did you say that person called in to say? We had somebody that called in.
So we had Jim call in. He wanted to ask you why Ronald Acuña would be considered the front runner for the most valuable player despite leading the National League in errors in right field.
Because he's the best player in the National League next. That's the simplest answer. He's the best player in the National League. He might be the best player in all of Major League Baseball. Again, we can have the argument about Ohtani when Mike Trout is healthy, whatever. You look at his numbers, all the numbers. You look at the totality of his numbers. He's by far the best player in the National League. By far the best player in the National League. You know why, too? Do you know who also made a lot? I'll give you this question, Garrett. Do you know who also made a lot of errors as an infielder?
Who, John?
Was Roberto Alomar. Okay? If you look, that he made quite a bit of errors, especially in those years in Baltimore and things, that he would be high up on the errors list. Do you know why he would be high up on the errors list? Because he could get to balls that nobody else could. His range factor was off the chart. And again, that's a byproduct of when you take that many opportunities and your range factor as an infielder is off the chart. Roberto Alomar covered probably more ground than any infielder I've ever seen in the history of baseball. Maybe even more than Derek Jeter. I don't know that anybody covered as much ground from first base to short right to second base more than Roberto Alomar Jr. I don't think you could find a guy who was a better guy as far as range factor goes than Roberto Alomar. And when you have a range factor that's off the chart, you're going to make errors. You're going to. But you know what Roberto Alomar was? About a 10-time Gold Glover. He was arguably the best second baseman defensively of his generation. I'll take him over Joe Morgan. I saw Joe Morgan play. I saw Ryan Sandberg play. I'll take Roberto Alomar over any of those guys. I didn't see Bill Mazeroski play, but I will tell you, I saw Sandberg, I saw Morgan, and I'll take Roberto Alomar over any of those guys all day long, every day of the week, because nobody could do the things that Roberto Alomar did. Nobody had the range. When I tell you that the best defensive infield I've ever seen as a keystone combo was Omar Vizquel and Roberto Alomar in those couple of years they played together for the Indians. Nobody hit anything through those guys. Nobody. And by the way, too, go all the way back to 1997. Nobody hit anything on the left side of the infield past Omar Vizquel and Matt Williams when he played third for the Indians. Nobody hit a ball past those guys. That's the benefit of 51 years of living on this earth, is I've seen, you know, again, to quote the great Al Pacino from Scent of a Woman, I've been around, you know, seen a few things. And I'll take Roberto Alomar over Ryan Sandberg, Joe Morgan, Manny Trio, just about anybody you can throw out there. Just about anybody you can throw out there. I didn't see Mazeroski, so I didn't see him, but I saw everybody else play. And he was a better infielder. And again, he always made plenty of errors. Chin? What's going on, man?
Chin from Lawrenceville.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Hey, got to ask you a question.
Yes.
In the first handful of years, who do you think is better? Ronald Acuña Jr. or the first few years of Skinny Barry Bonds? Thanks a lot.
I think Ronald Acuña Jr. is better. Bonds was not a high batting average, high on base guy. Bonds could steal with anybody, but Bonds was not the overall hitter that he was later on in his career. Not compared to Ronald Acuña. Ronald Acuña right now, I think, is third in the league in hitting. You know that?
His batting average is second.
Oh, second?
He's second. Because, okay. I mean, Freddie's right on his heels, but okay. He's only behind
that second baseman for the Marlins is the guy leading the league.
Arias, right? Or whatever, the singles king.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm looking at Barry Bonds' stats, and Ronald Acuña is very similar to 1990 Barry Bonds when he won his first MVP. 301 batting average. That's when his average shot up, because he was a 250 batter for the first
in his first 88 in those years. His first couple, before he went on the MVP tear, his batting, he struck out a lot. He had a high strikeout number, didn't walk a tremendous amount, but his on-base percentage wasn't all that good.
By modern standards, his strikouts aren't that bad.
Well, but again,
I guess by those standards,
strikeouts?
He had 102 his rookie year.
Okay, that again, you're talking.
But then 30, he drops to 80, and then low 90s.
I was going to say, 100 strikeouts in 30 years ago was a huge number.
That's a massive number then.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's not that bad.
That's
1990, he's got a very Ronald Acuña-esque season. I mean, he's got a 970 OPS, 565 slugging, 406 on base, 301 batting average. Hit 33 home runs, stole 52 bases. I mean, that's pretty much what we're seeing from Ronald Acuña this year, except Ronald's better this year. I mean, he's got better stats than Barry Bonds that year, but Barry won the MVP.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like the irony of Barry Bonds is that's an MVP season, an incredible year. He doubled that later on in his career. Like what Barry Bonds did with the baseball bat in his hands has never been never be replicated. It was incredible.
What did he have? He had over 100 intentional walks.
That was insane.
1 year. I mean, he had over 100 intentional walks.
Steroids aside, I get the steroids. He might be the best pure hitter, period, in the history of baseball.
I think he is. I mean, again, I've said he's the best. Look, I think he's the best left fielder in the history of the game, and that includes Babe Ruth and Ted Williams and guys like that that played left field.
The dude was intentionally walked 688 times.
I was trying to see what his...
Holy mackerel.
His intentional...
incredible. He had looking at it. It's 120 in 2004.
In 2004, yeah.
He had imagine.
120 intentional walks in a year.
How many people have ever been intentionally walked with the bases loaded?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think about the fact that he had 2, 4, 6, 7, 10. He had 12 seasons where he led the league in intentional walks.
I mean, he has 2,500 walks. 2,558 walks.
Because he
has three all-time records.
Yeah, because he beat out Ricky Henderson for the all-time walks record. Henderson had the walks record in baseball history, so he's got the walks record. And again, 688 intentional walks.
Yeah, 25% of them were just intentional.
There's a lot of guys that don't walk 688 times in their career.
Oh my God, it's incredible.
Yeah.
What do you do? So, I mean, you look at a pro baseball reference and you see bolds and italics and everything like that, maybe once or twice. When you look at Barry Bonds, you look at those early 2000s and mid 90s numbers, and it's just all bold. It's just all bolded in italics.
Yeah.
Like, it's everything. Because his stats are just that incredible. But like that caller was saying, Ronald Acuna is very identical to early Barry Bonds, except better power, and he's hitting for higher average right now.
Yeah, and again, we'll
it's
see.
More impressive. It's incredible.
This is the first year that they are allowing guys to bring the stolen base back. And again, Ronald has been a good stolen base guy. But now he's flourishing in that role. I'll be curious to see, because again, Bonds went from 52 in 1990, down to, you know, even 29, 30, which is obviously, and he was one of the 40-40 players, in baseball. But again, he never got back up to that kind of level. And by the time he got to, you know, 99, he was down to 15 stolen bases. And again, I'm not blaming him for that, but I'll be interested to see how many stolen bases Ronnie continues to run for. Because again, there's no reason why Ronald Acuna Jr. at his age shouldn't be about a 50 to 60 stolen base guy on an annual basis. He should be that kind of level of guy. So, all right, real quickly, I want to get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can I say, you know, and I'm not anti-Katie Nolan. You like Katie Nolan?
Sure.
Okay.
She's fine. She's funny.
I'm not anti-Katie Nolan, okay? But the reports were that ESPN paid her $1 million to come off of that. What was it? Garbage Time? I think was the name of the show on FS1 and all that kind of stuff. So she was on a podcast or something recently. And here's what she had to say about her time at ESPN, because she's no longer with them, okay? So here's what she said. Quote, I went to ESPN and I tried to do like, okay, you brought me here because you like Garbage Time, so we're going to make a Garbage Time here, right? Well, no, we were going to have you host like SportsCenter on Snapchat. And I was like, yeah, but that takes 15 minutes, so then what? With my paycheck, clearly there's got to be something else you want me to do, okay? Now, here's my problem with that. Because, again, she was talking about the creative direction and everything from ESPN, okay? So, based upon what she said, she basically took the money and went to ESPN. Now, I don't have a problem with that. You're going to pay me $1 million a year. You know what? I'm going to jump ship as well. But you can't have it both ways. You can't, after you take the paycheck, all of a sudden complain and moan about what your creative direction is going to be. Again, by that quote, she didn't know what they were going to do with her. She just took the money. Now, that's fine. I got no problem with that. But don't complain about afterward. And again, she goes on to say, well, they didn't let me do this or let me do that. Then why didn't you go into a meeting with ESPN and say, what is it you want me to do before I sign my contract? Or did you just say, look, they're going to pay me $1 million a year? Heck yeah. Which, again, a lot of people would do. I'll guarantee you on FS1. I think that's the network she was on, right? Was she on FS1 Box or something like that? I think she was on FS1. I guarantee you they didn't approach anywhere near $1 million a year for her. Guarantee you. I guarantee you that she wasn't making close to that. So, again, I don't have a problem with taking the money. Every one of us would take the money. I'd be like, you know what? You can have me do the weather forecast on ESPN for $1 million a year. But don't complain and moan about the direction of ESPN and their creative with what they wanted you to do when you didn't even talk about the idea of what you were going to do creatively. And so many of these people, again, it's life-changing money, right? When you've got $1 million put in front of you on an annual basis, it's life-changing money. And I don't blame her for taking the money. But don't piss and moan about the fact that ESPN didn't give you the good creative and all this kind of stuff. You should have been in control of all of that before you took the money. Or don't take the money. You can't normally have it both ways. You can't be high paid and then they give you all the freedom in the world to do whatever you want. Networks like ESPN are going to dictate what's going to be creatively what they think you're going to be best at. They'll pay you for it, but they're going to dictate that. And that's where my problem is with Katie Nolan. Don't tell me about taking $1 million a year and then saying they didn't do right by you creative. You should have had all of that in writing and negotiated well long before you signed a contract with them. All right, get back from the top of the hour. It seems like the media is obsessing about the Hawks being involved in every trade in the NBA nowadays. We'll talk about that next. Chuck Green, Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 97 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
In the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Nets on the Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Sunday morning with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll get to a What's Bugging Chuckery coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Garrett, young Garrett, what did you say that that person called in to say? We had somebody that called in.
So we had Jim call in. He wanted to ask you why Ronald Acuña would be considered the front runner for the most valuable player despite leading the National League in errors in right field.
Because he's the best player in the National League next. That's the simplest answer. He's the best player in the National League. He might be the best player in all of Major League Baseball. Again, we can have the argument about Otani when Mike Trout is healthy, whatever. You look at his numbers, what all the numbers. You look at the totality of his numbers. He's by far the best player in the National League. By far the best player in the National League. You know why, too? Do you know who also made a lot? I'll give you this question, Garrett. Do you know who also made a lot of errors as an infielder?
Who, John?
Was Roberto Alomar. Okay? If you looked that he made quite a bit of errors, especially in those years in Baltimore and things, that he would be high up on the errors list. Do you know why he would be high up on the errors list? Because he could get to balls that nobody else could. His range factor was off the chart. And again, that's a byproduct of when you take that many opportunities and your range factor as an infielder is off the chart. Roberto Alomar covered probably more ground than any infielder I've ever seen in the history of baseball. Maybe even more than Derek Jeter. I don't know that anybody covered as much ground from first base to short right to second base more than Roberto Alomar Jr. I don't think you could find a guy who was a better guy as far as range factor goes than Roberto Alomar. And when you have a range factor that's off the chart, you're going to make errors. You're going to. But you know what Roberto Alomar was? About a 10-time Gold Glover. He was arguably the best second baseman defensively of his generation. I'll take him over Joe Morgan. I saw Joe Morgan play. I saw Ryan Sandberg play. I'll take Roberto Alomar over any of those guys. I didn't see Bill Mazeroski play, but I will tell you, I saw Sandberg, I saw Morgan, and I'll take Roberto Alomar over any of those guys all day long, every day of the week, because nobody could do the things that Roberto Alomar did. Nobody had the range. And when I tell you that the best defensive infield I've ever seen as a keystone combo was Omar Vizquel and Roberto Alomar in those couple of years they played together for the Indians. Nobody hit anything through those guys. Nobody. And by the way, too, go all the way back to 1997, nobody hit anything on the left side of the infield past Omar Vizquel and Matt Williams when he played third for the Indians. Nobody hit a ball past those guys. That's the benefit of 51 years of living on this earth, is I've seen, you know, again, to quote the great Al Pacino from Scent of a Woman, I've been around, you know, seen a few things. And I'll take Roberto Alomar over Ryan Sandberg, Joe Morgan, Manny Trio, just about anybody you can throw out there. Just about anybody you could throw out there. I didn't see Mazeroski, so I didn't see him. But I saw everybody else play, and he was a better infielder. And again, he always made plenty of errors. Is it Chin? What's going on, man?
Chin from Lawrenceville.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Hey, got to ask you a question.
In the
first handful of years, who do you think is better, Ronald Acuña Jr. or the first few years of Skinny Barry Bonds? Thanks a lot.
I think Ronald Acuña Jr. is better. Bonds was not a high batting average, high on base guy. Bonds could steal with anybody, but Bonds was not the overall hitter that he was later on in his career. Not compared to Ronald Acuña. Ronald Acuña right now, I think, is third in the league in hitting. You know that? Look up real quick.
think oh, his batting average is second.
Yeah. Oh, second?
He's second. Because, I mean, Freddie's right on his heels, but he's only behind.
That second baseman for the Marlins is the guy leading the league.
Arias, right? Or whatever, the singles king. Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at Barry Bonds' stats, and Ronald Acuna is very similar to 1990 Barry Bonds when he won his first MVP. 301 batting average. That's when his average shot up, because he was a 250 batter for the first
in his first 87, 88 in those years. His first couple before he went on the MVP tear.
Yeah,
his batting he struck out a lot. He had a high strikeout number.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't walk a tremendous amount, but his on base percentage wasn't all that good.
By modern standards, his strikeouts aren't that bad.
Well, but again,
I guess by those standards,
how many strikeouts?
He had 102 his rookie year.
Okay, that again, you're talking.
But 30, then he drops to 80, and then low 90s.
I was going to say, 100 strikeouts in 30 years ago was a huge number.
That's a massive number then.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's not that bad.
That's,
but
heck, that's
but no,
that's
1990, he's got a very Ronald Acuna-esque season. I mean, he's got a 970 OPS, 565 slugging, 406 on base, 301 batting average. Hit 33 home runs, stole 52 bases. I mean, that's pretty much what we're seeing from Ronald Acuña this year, except Ronald's better this year. I mean, he's got better stats than Barry Bonds that year, but Barry won the MVP.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like the irony of Barry Bonds is that's an MVP season, an incredible year. He doubled that later on in his career. Like what Barry Bonds did with the baseball bat in his hands has never been never be replicated. It was incredible.
What did he have? He had over 100 intentional walks.
It was insane.
One year. I mean, he had over 100 intentional walks.
Steroids aside, I get the steroids. He might be the best pure hitter, period, in the history of baseball.
I think he is. I mean, again, I've said he's the best. Look, I think he's the best left fielder in the history of the game, and that includes Babe Ruth and Ted Williams and guys like that played left field.
The dude was intentionally walked 688 times.
I was trying to see what his
holy mackerel,
his
dude,
intentional.
Incredible.
He had
I'm looking at it. 120 in 2004.
In 2004, yeah.
He had imagine
120 intentional walks in a year.
How many people have ever been intentionally walked with the bases loaded?
Oh yeah, I mean, you think about the fact that he had 2, 4, 6, 7, 10. He had 12 seasons where he led the league in intentional walks.
I mean, he has 2,500 walks. 2,558
that's the
walks.
Because
by far the all-time. He has three all-time records.
Yeah, because he beat out Ricky Henderson for the all-time walks record. Henderson had the walks record in baseball history, so he's got the walks record. And again, 688 intentional walks.
Yeah, 25% of them were just intentional.
There's a lot of guys that don't walk 688 times in their career.
Oh my God, it's incredible.
Yeah.
What do you do? So, I mean, you look at a pro baseball reference and you see bolds and italics and everything like that maybe once or twice. When you look at Barry Bonds, you look at those early 2000s and early 90s numbers, and it's just all bold. It's just all bolded and italics.
Yeah.
Like, it's everything. Because his stats are just that incredible. But like that caller was saying, Ronald Acuna is very identical to early Barry Bonds, except better power, and he's hitting for higher average right now.
Yeah, and again, we'll
more
see.
Impressive. It's incredible.
This is the first year that they are allowing guys to bring the stolen base back. And again, Ronald has been a good stolen base guy. But now he's flourishing in that role. I'll be curious to see, because again, Bonds went from 52 in 1990, down to, you know, even 29, 30, which is obviously, and he was one of the 40-40 players, in baseball. But again, he never got back up to that kind of level. And by the time he got to, you know, 99, he was down to 15 stolen bases. And again, I'm not blaming him for that, but I'll be interested to see how many stolen bases Ronnie continues to run for. Because again, there's no reason why Ronald Acuna Jr. at his age shouldn't be about a 50 to 60 stolen base guy on an annual basis. He should be that kind of level of guy. So, all right, real quickly, I want to get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can I say, you know, and I'm not anti-Katie Nolan. You like Katie Nolan?
Sure.
Okay.
She's fine. She's funny.
I'm not anti-Katie Nolan, okay? But the reports were that ESPN paid her $1 million to come off of that. What was it? Garbage Time, I think was the name of the show on FS1 and all that kind of stuff. So she was on a podcast or something recently. And here's what she had to say about her time at ESPN, because she's no longer with them, okay? So here's what she said. Quote, I went to ESPN and I tried to do like, okay, you brought me here because you like Garbage Time, so we're going to make a Garbage Time here, right? Well, no, we were going to have you host like SportsCenter on Snapchat. And I was like, yeah, but that takes 15 minutes, so then what? With my paycheck, clearly there's got to be something else you want me to do, okay? Now, here's my problem with that. Because again, she was talking about the creative direction and everything from ESPN, okay? So, based upon what she said, she basically took the money and went to ESPN. Now, I don't have a problem with that. You're going to pay me $1 million a year. You know what? I'm going to jump ship as well. But you can't have it both ways. You can't, after you take the paycheck, all of a sudden complain and moan about what your creative direction is going to be. Again, by that quote, she didn't know what they were going to do with her. She just took the money. Now, that's fine. I got no problem with that. But don't complain about afterward. And again, she goes on to say, well, they didn't let me do this or let me do that. Then why didn't you go into a meeting with ESPN and say, what is it you want me to do before I sign my contract? Or did you just say, look, they're going to pay me $1 million a year? Heck yeah. Which, again, a lot of people would do. I'll guarantee you on FS1. I think that's the network she was on, right? Was she on FS1 Box or something like that? I think she was on FS1. I guarantee you they didn't approach anywhere near $1 million a year for her. I guarantee you that she wasn't making close to that. So again, I don't have a problem with taking the money. Every one of us would take the money. I'd be like, you know what? You can have me do the weather forecast on ESPN for $1 million a year. But don't complain and moan about the direction of ESPN and their creative with what they wanted you to do when you didn't even talk about the idea of what you were going to do creatively. And so many of these people, again, it's life-changing money, right? When you've got $1 million put in front of you on an annual basis, it's life-changing money. And I don't blame her for taking the money, but don't piss and moan about the fact that ESPN didn't give you the good creative and all this kind of stuff. You should have been in control of all of that before you took the money. Or don't take the money. You can't normally have it both ways. You can't be high paid and then they give you all the freedom in the world to do whatever you want. Networks like ESPN are going to dictate what's going to be creatively what they think you're going to be best at. They'll pay you for it, but they're going to dictate that. And that's where my problem is with Katie Nolan. Don't tell me about taking $1 million a year and then saying they didn't do right by you creative. You should have had all of that in writing and negotiated well long before you signed a contract with them. All right, get back from the top of the hour. It seems like the media is obsessing about the Hawks being involved in every trade in the NBA nowadays. We'll talk about that next. Chuck Green, Nakia Studios, Sports Radio 97 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.